Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Rebel Room postgame edition. Ryan Green and Rob Misch here in San Diego, California, to talk about UNLV's 57-46 loss to San Diego State to cap the regular season. The Rebels fall to 21-9 overall, a lackluster 9-7 in the Mountain West. San Diego State finishes the regular season 21-8, 11-5, respectively. The two will meet again Thursday in the quarterfinals of the Mountain West Conference Tournament at the Thomas & Mack Center. All that's fine and dandy, but I think it's safe to say, Rob, that this weekend maybe the most exciting part was hearing you relive the old Sig Epp days at San Diego State, because it was certainly more exciting than that basketball game.
It overshadowed everything having to do with basketball.
Completely.
You know you're old when you visit your old fraternity and the one-way street now goes the other way.
I'll tell you my favorite part of it was when we walked by the Sig Epp house, and for all you listeners out there, this house looked let's just say a little run down, and I'm gonna imagine it probably didn't look a whole lot better 20 years ago. It's
no,
pretty safe to assume.
Very safe.
Now, the first thing you pointed out was how in the back it was just kind of like a big concrete courtyard, and you were saying there used to be a pool back there. You know, and you guys would have these big pool parties out there, and kids would be jumping in off the roof, which looked very doable. Maybe not the safest thing in the world, but very doable. I mean, what that you do in college is safe. So, you know, when we were walking back to the car, the front door to the frat was open, so we walked in. We saw your picture hanging on the wall in their little meeting room.
The oldest one back in the darkest,
corner
of the chapter.
We couldn't
room.
Even get a picture of it because it was so dark.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the current kids at Sig Epp's living there comes down, and you were kind of talking to him for a little bit, and he's showing you around, and you said to him, he said, "Man, the thing I can't get over is the pool in the back. They filled it in. It's just gone." And the kid goes, "Yeah, we heard stories about kids jumping off the roof into there." Your eyes lit up like Christmas morning.
There was a few other stories that aren't printable or sayable, but... yeah, times change. It was a lot different house, and the pool is no longer there. They screwed up. They made pledges tread water with handcuffs a while back, and that was the last straw. They yanked the charter, and then the school took that opportunity, that little window, to throw in a few tons of concrete into the swimming hole. So the cement pond is no longer.
Well, I'll bet it was a pretty good night to party and celebrate over at the Sig Epp house tonight, because they've obviously got some school spirit. They had a big Aztecs flag hanging from the house, and it was a good night to be an Aztec. 57-46, like we said, they take care of UNLV in every way possible. Let's just start right from the top. UNLV, you look at the stat sheet, the 15 of 45 from the field is going to stand out. Five field goals in the second half. This was the worst offensive week UNLV's had this season.
And, what timing?
And now is not the time for that to be happening.
Which we alluded to in the previous game against Air Force, but you know, with the postseason right around the corner, they've lost five of their last nine games. But this was, I mean, we just keep hitting lows.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you need to put this season out of its misery. They have scored 46 points in back-to-back games for the first time since the very first season of the program.
Their sixth and seventh games ever.
That would be 1958, 1959, which is even older than me.
Man. That's really stretching back. We've really dug deep into the record books this week.
You know what?
Looking at futility.
This season has – it's been a futile season. They for the first time ever, they lost back-to-back overtime games. Mm-hmm. They also, for the first time in almost 28 years, lost home games on consecutive days. That was last fall
November.
To Cal and Cincinnati. So it's just we keep being forced to look back at the record books for very negative reasons, mm-hmm. and it just. Lack of consistency in every way. You know, we saw a 9-minute stretch tonight where they went without a field goal in the second half, and that's when San Diego State plastered them with a 15-3 run. Kyle Spain had three-pointers on consecutive possessions, which really drove the nail in and gave them the cushion, and then San Diego State kind of breezed. So it's been a rough season, and you know what? All indications are that the NIT is right around the corner.
Yeah, and those three-pointers looked even more spectacular on SportsCenter tonight. So they were shown. And, you know, let's talk about that drought that UNLV had in the second half. You know, it started at about the 14-20 mark with Oscar Belfield hitting that three. It was 14-18, I believe, he hits that three-pointer. That puts him up 32-30, and I felt, Rob, at that point, it looked like UNLV was on the verge of playing a tough, gritty, neck-and-neck second half, very much like the first half that they put up. There really wasn't any indication at that point that that drought was coming, was there?
Well, no, but what we couldn't foresee is just a glut of whistles.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And we've seen that often this season. All of a sudden, the game slows down, and we start having 20-second spurts, 18-second spurts, 13-second spurts, 31 seconds. There's just no rhythm, you know, fouls just going crazy. San Diego State's in the bonus with 12 and a half minutes left. Next thing you know, UNLV starts getting to the line, hitting one of two.
Gee, where have we seen that before?
So, you know, you mix in some sloppy turnovers, you mix in some poor free throw shooting, a lot of bad field goal shooting, and, you know, once again, close shots, rolling off the rim, easy layups, not connecting, you know, all that kind of conspires to really undo this team.
Yeah, and this team, after Kyle Spain, you know, as he was going on that little run, this team just kind of, guys looked more timid, didn't really want to shoot the ball, and it just kind of snowballed.
But we saw that before.
Yeah,
that
this is not that.
We saw a lot of hesitation, a lot of timidity. We saw probably the only guy who really was playing with confidence today would be Trayvon Willis. You know, Wink Adams continues to do his little fadeaway jumpers, and they are just more off the mark with every game. Mm-hmm. It's really incredible. It almost leaves you speechless.
Yeah, and you know, you alluded to this is not the time to be doing it, and you know, those top tier teams, this is when they're. I mean, you don't necessarily have to be peaking right now, but you got to be. You look like a different team now than you did back in November, December, and how much different does this team really look right now? Other than that, the fact that they're sticking pretty diligently with the small lineup. In the way it plays, how much different is this team now from the team that we watched in November and December go through those offensive swoons?
I don't see any difference.
Yeah.
You know, Bryce Masamba got rare minutes tonight. Darius Santee.
First half minutes, yeah.
Darius Santee did not play with the first time all season. So we're looking at just less and less and less faith in the big guys. But we've seen that pattern develop and you know, you just, you know, if we think we're perplexed, I think Lon Kruger has been perplexed longer than us. So, you know, his mantra, tomato, tomato, his
Nevada,
mantra,
Nevada.
His mantra, right, there we go again, back to the start of the season. You know, but last season when it was apparent very early on, Manny Adefe was kicked off at the team after the first game, and all of a sudden, you're looking at a UNLV club that had to go short, that was forced to play short, small, you know, full court press, small ball, whatever you want to call it. Kruger's mantra back then was, you know what, we're going to do with what we have and have fun. That was the big thing. We're going to have fun. Obviously, expectations were different a year ago than they were now, or are now, and so I really haven't heard that theme this season when things weren't going right. Well, listen, we need to have fun. I haven't heard fun a lot.
When was the last time, you know, think about it, when was the last time you really saw this team having fun? I would say maybe the game at BYU, you know, the home games against Utah and Arizona. You know, they got into some flow and had some swagger there. But when was the last time you really saw this team having fun? Even at practice, you know, you don't see a lot of joking around. How much of it just feels like a job now to these kids?
Yeah, but you know what? That can be overblown too, because they're still kids. And the one thing that I've had drilled into my head in covering college basketball for 22 years is the fact that kids are just resilient as all heck. And I've actually noticed after losses, they hop right back into practice the very next day. And I've seen them almost act like, you know, like, hey, it's time to move on. That didn't happen. And when it comes down to it, you can see what you want to see. But then if you filter all that out and you just watch practice, they're just kids having fun. And believe it or not, they get along more than I think anybody would give them credit for.
Yeah.
It just matters. You know, we're just looking at chemistry, you know, and getting used to each other. And we saw Trey throw some passes tonight, and it looked like it was in a November 3rd game. Mm-hmm. Like they were just starting to play
together. Oscar and Kendall, yeah.
And where Oscar Belfield has gone the last month or 5 or 6 weeks, you know, we will figure that out early in the week when you talk to them a little mm-hmm. bit. But it's they're just not on the same page, and they haven't been on the same page all year. Probably the one game that sticks out that this team will be remembered for is the Arizona game. When they were all together, they were all gelling, Wink was hitting, and you know, unfortunately, you don't want to peak in the fall.
Yeah.
So.
But they haven't looked that good since for an entire game.
No, and even the Louisville game, Wink wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. And the second half was, let's not forget, they had 6 field goals in the second half of that game.
And what was there, 5 field goals tonight?
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough to watch.
Yeah. Well, it's you alluded to the NIT is potentially on the horizon for this team. I guess let's look ahead a little bit. We'll talk about San Diego State, what they did tonight, looking ahead some more. But I mean, it's got to feel pretty certain now that if this team does not win the Mountain West tournament, that's where they're heading.
No doubt. You know, they had the selection committee doesn't just look at RPIs, as we have talked about, but they're now looking at an RPI at best in the low 50s. That's way beyond flirtation level with the NCAA tournament selection committee.
You got to be in the 30s or the 40s. Absolutely.
But let's get beyond that, because what matters, what the selection committee is even going to hone in on more is losing 5 of your last 9. They really seriously take a look at how you've played in your last 10, and this isn't this doesn't portend good things at all. And, you know, let's not lose the fact that what we've seen tonight, we've seen before, we saw last week, we saw last month, we saw 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. So what in your mind, I'll even ask you straight up, what in your mind would lead you to believe that this team is going to change its pattern and they're going to be all, you know, not even all on the same page, but they're going to be cohesively working to win 3 games next week?
There's nothing that really says it. And, you know, it's the fact that now, you know, talking to guys after games and they're saying, well, we got to get in the gym and hit more shots and blah, blah. And, you know, that's one thing to hear in November, December. But at this point, you're like, well, you maybe have 2 more games. You may have as few as 2 more games this year. And, you know, you look around the league. Look at a New Mexico right now, who basically people wrote off as a potential at large very early in the season when they struggled in their non-conference. They went 9-6 in the non-con this year. UNLV went, you know, was a little better than that. But you look at those 2 teams now, say they were both to lose on Thursday. New Mexico's the 3 seed. They will be playing Wyoming. New Mexico probably has a better case right now. You know, yeah, they struggled in the non-conference, but they won 9 of their last 10 games in the conference. And they're playing – they are a better team now than they were in December. UNLV, I don't know if you can say that. Actually, you can't say that.
No, there's no way you can say that. But New Mexico has its own little foibles, because the selection committee has really held something against them for not just, you know, they won 24 games last mm-hmm. year and didn't go to the dance. So
this is all theoretically speaking, though, in the sense that, like, even a Utah, you know, look at their first game of the year. They lost to Southwest Baptist. How many people remember that now?
I'm not even talking about that. I'm sticking with New Mexico and the fact that for decades, mm-hmm. New Mexico has had its record held against each other because they've had such a weak non-conference schedule. Mm-hmm. And we saw it last year, you know. I've been seeing that for 25 years, and I'm sure New Mexico fans know exactly what I'm talking about. So I think the only sure things right now are BYU and Utah.
Yeah.
And if they meet in the final, I would be hard-pressed to see that anybody else gets in.
No, and there's really no solid case to make for anybody else. And like we were saying with Utah, they atoned for early mistakes. They're a better team now.
Yeah.
UNLV is not.
Yeah.
Well, San Diego State, let's talk about this team a little bit. UNLV is obviously going to see them again on Thursday at 2:30 p.m. in the MAC. They did a lot of the same things right this time, and a lot of it started with Kyle Spain. He's a Rebel killer this year. There's no doubt about it.
But you know what's funny about that? I know you and I, we look over the stats closely and intensely and all that. The funny thing about Kyle Spain tonight, and as he did a month ago, he hurt the Rebels and with his big three-point shots. He only had one other field goal tonight.
Yeah.
So if you take away, am I looking at this correctly?
Well, he also had
one other three-pointer.
Yeah.
So, you know, he goes, and he had six turnovers. So, you know, he's getting on his spurts and burning UNLV.
And you look at how big those two two-point buckets he had. One was he follows his own miss to start the second half. And then another one, with 1 second left on the shot clock, they're inbounding the ball into the UNLV basket.
Oh.
And Wink Adams is looking the other way, has no clue that Spain's right behind him. They throw it up, and he just pops it in off the glass.
Forget the two three-pointers, but that play right there was an indictment of the game.
That was it. That put it away. That made it a 12-point game. Yep. UNLV thought they'd caught a break with the ball going out of bounds with 1 second.
Right.
Wink is just standing there. He didn't even know Spain was there behind him.
It was just a series of bad box outs, poor rebounding, poor fundamentals. And even when they did grab the rebound on the defensive end, we've seen this in their recent games too. It's so incredible how a Rebel could get the rebound, yet there's another guy and they're grabbing for the same rebound and it goes out of bounds.
Yep.
Or Oscar Belfield gets a rebound tonight and he looks up and just mishandles it and it goes out of bounds.
Yep.
San Diego State ball. There's a lack of concentration.
Mm.
So,
and you think maybe frustration plays into that too. You know, we're seeing a lot more. I wanted to ask you about this too. It seems like we're seeing a lot more when UNLV gets the, you know, San Diego State turns the ball over 20 times. And it seems like they are pushing it a little too hard when they're heading up the floor. There were a couple examples tonight. One was the 3-on-1 break where Wink forces the steal. Pushes the ball, passes it to the right to Kendall Wallace. Kendall can go up for the layup. Instead, tries a—I don't even remember if it was necessarily a no-look pass, but it was an unnecessary pass to Rene Rougeau that goes off his hands and out of bounds. I mean, just they're pushing it a little too much and hitting that panic button a little bit when they get in the open court.
And there just isn't a comfort level.
Yeah.
Kruger has been stressing patience a lot lately, and it almost seems the other night against Air Force, it almost seemed like they were too patient.
Yeah.
So the happy medium, that comfort level, it isn't there. And I really think it's something that's just perplexing Kruger also.
Well, let's talk about Thursday a little bit. San Diego State, is this a team that beats UNLV for a third time?
Yeah, they did it in 06. Swept the season series, met UNLV in the semifinals in Denver, beat them, used that as a launching board, won the Mountain West title. Next thing you know, they're in the first round of the NCAAs against Indiana in Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, then they lost that game,
yeah.
And San Diego State is 0-for-5 lifetime in the NCAA tournament. So you could switch that around, and hey, look what UNLV did last year. They beat Kent State in the first round of the NCAAs. That's something that San Diego State has never done, won a game in the NCAA tournament. So that's the big thing that's hanging on that program right now is actually winning a game.
Not just getting there.
Right. And that's what Kyle Spain told me after the game tonight. That's really something that drives him is getting back there. That was his freshman year in 06, and he said he didn't really know what to expect. He wanted to have fun. He had fun, thought he'd be back, hasn't been back. So, you know, as we've seen quite often in college hoops, you know, the career is a short span and you got to make the most of it. So one team right now is making the most of it, and it's not UNLV.
No. And they're They're going to have to do something soon, but there's, like we said already in the show a few times, there's really not a whole lot that's making you think that things are going to change in about 3-4 days' time.
Right, and here's probably not the worst thing, but this is a bad sign for UNLV, the fact that, good for Billy White. He came out, he played tonight, he didn't know how well he would do. He had his left knee hyperextended 2 weeks ago against New Mexico. The first minute of that game, he hasn't played since. He caught strep throat earlier this week, so his status was really iffy tonight. And he comes in off the bench, made his only shot, so he's now 20 for his last 20. He's got that rolling. But his big thing was coming into the game, he was real scared about jumping, about landing on his left foot and his left wheel. And so it was more of a test for him. Steve Fisher, the coach of San Diego State, said, you know, just go out there, make sure you can go 100%. Don't go if you can't go 100%, but, you know, try to see how you feel. And so this was his kind of feel-out game. Now, come next Thursday, he's going to be ready to go. There's not going to be any hesitation.
And that's really
going to
be the
Billy
first
White.
Time that UNLV is going to see San Diego State at full strength this year.
Right, absolutely.
Tim Shelton did not play in the first game. He has 12 rebounds tonight. This is going to be an even better San Diego State team that UNLV sees on Thursday than the one they've seen that's beat them twice already.
And you remember Billy White last month. He wasn't overpowering, but he was definitely strong and solid. He had 12.7 boards, and he's going to be a terror for those for the Rebels to contain. It's going to be a tough game Thursday.
Like we said, Thursday, 2:30 p.m. at the Thomas and Mack Center. Rob, before we get out of here, any final comments?
No, you know what? It was a really good crowd tonight.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've been to this school, and I don't ever remember any crowd coming close to what we heard and saw tonight. That was different to see and feel. Of course, when I was there, they played the San Diego Sports Arena, more of a cavern, so it was spread out, and no way did it have this intimacy. But that was an impressive crowd. It was an impressive environment, and you know what? You could possibly see a Mountain West tournament in that barn sometime, because 12,000 is a perfect capacity for it.
Yeah.
You can sell it out. There's going to be a lot of people there. And, you know, it's not regular or often where they have 15,000 guys at the map for that tournament. So maybe in the future it'll be on some kind of rotation basis to appease some coaches, you know. Maybe they'll play twice in the Pit, twice at the Cox Arena, twice in Vegas or something. But, you know, the NCAA tournament has had first-round games in Cox Arena, so if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for the Mountain West.
Agreed. Well, that is going to be it. We will talk to you on Thursday evening back in Vegas. Who knows what team is going to show up. There's no way to predict right now, as there has not been all year. For Rob Misch, I'm Ryan Green. We'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.